If you like tennis betting, William Hill offers the best in-play action you'll find. You can bet on the outrights, sets, games, and point by point. To guide you, there are stats, a court map, live action on William Hill TV, and dedicated experts looking for the best bets on the ATP and WTA tournaments on in-play radio. Plus, there'll be extended radio coverage of the Grand Slams. To get involved, tweet the studio at Will Hill In Play or email inplayradio@williamhill.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Tennis Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined on the line by Nick Lester to look ahead to the quarterfinals of the Australian Open. Of course, we're going to look at the four in the men's first, then the four in the women's. Meant to be the eight best players from each side in the tournament. We've had a few shocks, it has to be said, up to now. But there's some absolutely fascinating matchups in the quarters, so we're going to go through all of those in just a moment. Hello, Nick. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Alex. Very well.
Good. Of course, you've been over in America. You're flying back tonight, so you'll be talking to us back on English time for the semi-finals. But it really has been a superb tournament so far, both in terms of entertainment, just enough shocks to sort of keep you going, and, of course, the best players have... Well, a lot of the best players have got here without much fuss, really.
Yeah, I think especially on the men's side of things. I mean, obviously, with Federer's loss was pretty huge when he went out on that day. But, I mean, I think the biggest feature for me of the week has been the speed of the courts. You know, it really has felt as though they've sped the courts up over the... Certainly for this event, most players seem to agree with that. And, again, if you look at the players that have come through... There have been some big hitters that made their way through, which would certainly suggest that. So I think that's been quite refreshing in a way. Obviously, it's been something that the tour have been talking about for a long time. It's been, you know, the kind of flying Denov surface has been a feature of the game in the last couple of years. And definitely feels as though the Aussie Open, things have sped up a bit, which is good.
Absolutely. We've got, on the men's side, we've got Berdych, Nadal, Murray, Kyrgios, Djokovic, Rajnic, and Wawrinka, Nishikori. The women's side, Makarova, Halep, Bouchard, Sharapova, Keys against Venus Williams, and Serena Williams against Sybil Kova. Which of those is really sort of screaming at you, Nick, this is going to be an incredible game?
Well, I think Wawrinka Nishikori would probably be my standout on the men's. I think just the way both guys are playing, I think Nishikori yesterday in his win over Ferrer was absolutely outstanding. I mean, the breathtaking tennis, the way he was attacking the ball, probably the best I've seen him play ever. And I think on the women's side, Bouchard against Sharapova has got to be the match, isn't it? Both, you know, obviously Bouchard's been touted as the next kind of Sharapova, the way she plays, the way she looks and everything. She is a kind of little sort of mini Sharapova in many ways. So I think those two matches for me would probably be the two standout on both sides of the draws.
Okay, fair enough. Right, well, we'll dive into the action. We're going to start with the men's stuff. Berdych against Nadal up first. 6-4 for Thomas Berdych, 8-15 for Rafa Nadal. And Nadal, who had a bit of a scare, didn't he, in the earlier rounds, has bounced back and looks to be somewhere near his best. Or at least he was pretty impressive against Kevin Anderson. Berdych yet to drop a set here so far. Hasn't come up against a great deal, but nevertheless impressive. But one thing that you can't get away from here, Nick, is Nadal's recent record against Berdych. It is, it's near perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's won 17 in a row. So, this, you know, this sport is so much about head-to-head matchups. It's so much about the dynamics of one player's ball, how it reacts against another player. And you're right, it is very, very hard to look away from Nadal in this matchup. I mean, Thomas Berdych, for my money, has probably been one of the most impressive players in the draw on the men's side. I think he's looked great. I mean, it looks as though he's improved his game in the off season, which is really good to see, because I think he had probably just kind of leveled off a bit the last couple of the years. He's got a new coach on board. I think the forehand for Berdych looks as though it's got more control on it. It definitely seems to have a bit more spin on the forehand side. The serve looks to be a little more under control as well, especially the second serve. So I've been really impressed with the way Berdych's played, actually. I must say, I think it was an excellent win over Tomic. You know, he looked as though he was really dialed in on what he was trying to do. Nice to see him use a bit of slice as well. We haven't seen him do that too often. So been very, very impressed with him. As for Nadal, it's been shaky. It's been shaky at times. I mean, especially against Smicek, obviously. Third set against Seller was pretty poor. But, you know, there was only one way he was going to approach this tournament, and that was to play himself into form, and he had to do that. And he to an extent, he has done that. It was, you know, his determination has seen him through in many ways against Anderson in the first set. He was down set points, found a way to get the job done. And, you know, I just can't go away from Nadal in this matchup purely on the head-to-head and purely on the way he's beaten Burdick in the past. It's going to take a big effort from Thomas to be able to turn this one around. It wouldn't surprise me if this went five sets. I think this genuinely could be a five-setter out here. But I've got to stick with Nadal. Just on you know, as I say, on the head-to-head. And it's going to take a huge effort for Burdick to overturn this, I think. And for me, that's why I'm leaning with Nadal. But I think it'll be very, very close. I would not be surprised if this one went five sets.
Okay, so Nadal, potentially really good value at 8-15, but if you think Nadal can win in five, a pretty juicy 5-1. So definitely a bit of value to be had there. Next up is Andy Murray against Nick Kyrgios. 1-7 for Murray, 9-2 for the Aussie Kyrgios. We'll start with Murray. Pretty routine so far. He was impressive against Dimitrov. In the previous rounds, you'd have expected him to do what he did, which was winning straight sets. And Kyrgios has been having long matches, thrilling matches, very much in keeping with his style of play, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's been so much talk about Kyrgios at this tournament. It's been amazing, really. I mean, his attitude, he's kind of, just the way he approaches the game. He's got a spark about him, and it's fun to watch. It's unusual to watch in this era in many ways, because most of the guys are kind of so placid, really, in a way. There's so little controversy in men's tennis in the last few years. So he is definitely something new, and I think it's kind of what the game needs in the men's side of things. It's nice to see him just be in the mix there in that melting pot and just kind of be himself. And it's incredible because, you know, he's won one match in his career on the ATP World Tour, and yet he's made the quarterfinals of Wimbledon and now the quarterfinals of the Australian Open. So he's had a few injury issues coming into the event, but the win over Seppi was phenomenal. I mean, to come back from two sets down against a great competitor like Seppi on an outside court on Hisense, where it was a full house. You know, he's got an enormous serve, he's got an enormous game, and he's not afraid to do it, and he obviously loves playing on the big stage. So there's a lot of positives for this guy. I just feel that Murray looks to me to be playing the best tennis I've seen from him in probably a year, if not more. It feels like it's Wimbledon form to me, I must say, 2013, it really does. He just looks so solid. I mean, it was a fantastic win over Dimitrov. Dimitrov played really well in patches. And Murray stood firm, and he looks fresh, he looks fit. I think everything points to Murray here. I think he's going to make too many balls for Dimitrov on a hard court. They played once before in Canada. Different scenario. Dimitrov, obviously, Kyrgios is going to be very much up for this with a full house on a night session. But Murray's used to that. I have no worries that Murray will deal with that. I think he should be able to get a few too many returns into play. He'll outmaneuver Kyrgios. He moves better than anyone that Kyrgios has played so far. So I'm big on Murray here, and I'm big on Murray fairly comfortably. Whether Kyrgios can get a set or not wouldn't surprise me. So I think probably my money would be on Murray in three or Murray in four, one or the other. I think probably Murray in three could be my favourite pick.
Okay, Murray 1-7 on the outrights, but 5-6 to win in straights, 5-2 if you think that Kyrgios can nick one. We also have markets, match result, and both players to win a set. So if you think that Kyrgios is going to nick one, but you don't want to say if it's one or two, then Andy Murray available there at 13-8. Next up is Stan Wawrinka against Kai Nishikori. 11-10 for Wawrinka, 8-11 for Nishikori. Of course, these two faced each other in the US Open, of course, didn't they, Nick? An absolutely thrilling game there. And you'd expect this one to probably be a similar story. Wawrinka's had a very good tournament so far. Guillermo Garcia Lopez, the only player to take a set off him. But then again, Nishikori's been coming up against some solid players and was very, very impressive when being David Ferrer last time.
Yeah, that's an eye-catching result, isn't it? I mean, to beat Ferrer 3-3-3 that comfortably is impressive, to say the least. Very, very taken with the performance last night against Ferrer. His backhand looked to be, for me now, one of the best shots in the men's game. I think it really is. I mean, he can do anything with it. He can dictate points with it, and he can change matches with it from the back of the court. And you know, he takes the ball too early, as we said. The serve is much improved, I think, as well from Nishikori. So I've got to say, I lean with Nishikori here. I think Wawrinka's going to have to serve very, very well if he's to win this match. And he hasn't been serving particularly well. He hasn't been serving particularly quickly for Wawrinka either, which is definitely a scenario to consider in this one. He needs some free points. Wawrinka, you know, I think he's going to be rushed by Nishikori's game. I'm not saying Wawrinka's playing badly, because he's really not. I mean, the match against Garcia Lopez yesterday in the third and fourth sets was of the highest quality as well. But he's not going to have the time he had against Garcia Lopez that he does against Nishikori. He's going to take his time away. And I must say, I think there's some good value in Nishikori. I genuinely do. I think he looks as though he's done the work in the off-season, improved again. Wawrinka, as well as he's played in this tournament, has still been a little bit patchy up and down. There's still been moments in matches where he's looked a bit vulnerable, and I don't think he can have that against Nishikori. I really don't. This, I think, has the makings of a fine match, a really fine match. I think it's two shot makers, two obviously guys who hit the ball very, very big. But I was just so taken by the way Nishikori played yesterday. I've got to lean with him. I think there's good value in him. I think if he's so solid, he's not making many errors either from the back of the court. And he dominates you. He dictates you. And I think he could well do that against Wawrinka. So I'm with the Japanese player here. I think maybe 3-1 for me, possibly, would be my money would be.
OK, Nishikori 8-11 on the outrights. But for him to win 3-1, available at 7-2. The final quarterfinal that we're going to look at is Novak Djokovic against Milos Raonic. 1-7 Djokovic, 9-2 for Raonic. And of course, Djokovic has yet to really break a sweat so far in the competition. Very impressive, yet to drop a set. Raonic, on the other hand, 3 straight sets victories, and then a grueling 5-setter against Feliciano Lopez in the last 16. Djokovic, understandably, a heavy favourite here, Nick, but it's going to be probably the toughest game he's come up against so far.
Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, it was awkward for Raonic yesterday against Lopez. It's a tough matchup there for him. Lefty serve coming in makes it awkward because his return is a little bit weaker than some of the top guys. But he's improved again. I mean, he's done some really hard work in the off-season. You can see that from Raonic's game. No doubt that I think he's taken another step forwards in his game. The forehand looks great coming in a bit more as well, which is nice to see from Raonic's perspective. He did struggle against Lopez, but Lopez is probably playing the best tennis of his life and played a remarkable end to the fourth set breaker when he was able to sneak that out. So Djokovic is going to get a real stern examination here. I genuinely believe that. I think you're right, Djokovic has not really had a test yesterday. Gilles Muller obviously gave him something to think about over the 3 sets, but this is going to be a proper test now. Raonic is ambitious, as I said in our preview. He's someone who is not happy reaching the quarterfinals. He wants more. I think this could well go the distance. I think we could well have a very long match here. Obviously, last year it was a similar scenario for Djokovic when he was beaten by Wawrinka in the quarterfinals. So I've got to stick with Novak. He was my pick at the start of the tournament. I think he probably should just be able to outmaneuver Raonic enough and should be able to make enough balls defensively. But I think this has the makings of a 4 or 5 setter. I think it has. You know, Djokovic has also struggled with guys that serve big in the past. He doesn't like it when he loses his rhythm. So I think Raonic can also take advantage there. Raonic would need it to be a bit hotter. I think he'd like the conditions to be a bit warmer, because that will then make the ball fly through the air a bit more. But I can't go away from Djokovic overall. You know, just his record here speaks for itself. But I think there's definitely some value in Raonic nicking a couple of sets. I think this could well be a 5-setter. And I'm going to stick with not Djokovic in 5 for me.
Okay, Djokovic in 5, a whopping 13-2. So definitely a fair bit of value on your side there. Okay, that's the men's draw, Nick. We'll move on to the women's. And we'll start with Ekaterina Makarova against Simona Halep. 12-5 for Makarova. 3-1 on is Simona Halep. Two players who are yet to drop a set so far in the tournament. Something's going to have to give here, Nick.
Yeah, and you've got to admire Ekaterina Makarova, because she's not... no one really talks about her game. She's top 10 player now, finished knocking to the top 10 a couple of weeks ago. And she just plays really well at the majors. I mean, she's just very, very consistent at the big events. As you say, a big lefty serve. A little bit like Petra Kvitova, probably not quite as devastating as Kvitova's game, but she seems to be a bit more consistent than Petra, because Kvitova obviously seems to be struggling at the majors outside of Wimbledon. So she's got a great game. She's definitely improved her movement as well, which obviously is so important in this era, that you're able to track a lot of balls down. And as for Halep, well, I mean, she just ticks so many boxes for me. I mean, she just looks so good. She's definitely put on a bit of muscle, I think, in the off-season, looks stronger to me. Again, from an aggressive standpoint, doesn't quite have the firepower that some of the top players do, but she's such a cerebral player. She makes it so tough for players to get the ball by her. She's such a great athletic mover. She's able to get a lot of balls back, and I think they've played a couple of times before, and Halep beat her the last time around. So I've got to stay with Halep. I like the way she's playing. She's undefeated so far this year. Plays really well on this surface, and I'm going with the Romanian here. I really am. I think she could drop a set. I think Makarova's that good. I think, you know, she has the potential she's experienced Makarova as well. No, it's not like she's playing a quarterfinal for the first time. She's been here before many times. So I'm going to go with Halep in three. I think overall, over the course of a couple of hours, Halep's going to do enough to keep Makarova on the back foot. But I think there's some value in Makarova maybe getting a set.
Okay, so Halep 1-3 on the outright, but 29-10, giving Makarova a set. Next up, Eugenie Bouchard against Maria Sharapova. 12-5, Bouchard, 3-1 on for Sharapova. You touched earlier, Nick, on the fact that these two players pretty similar, both capable of throwing in the odd sort of bad patch in a game. But it's who can come out on top here. Sharapova has the head-to-head advantage. Bouchard definitely still up and coming, I think it's fair to say, even though she is very much established in the top 10. But this is a big ask for her, isn't it? Should be a fantastic game.
Yeah, and it's pretty simple. It's first strike tennis, isn't it? There's not going to be much in the way of touch going on here, because these two women hit the ball hard, aggressively from the back of the court, and it's about taking advantage of the short ball and then who can defend that situation. So they're mirror images of each other in many ways in the way they play the game. They both look to get on the front foot in rallies, exchanges, and dominate from the baseline. So I just think Sharapova looks in better nick to me. I mean, obviously, she has survived a monumental examination in the second round against Panova, who had match points, should have beaten her, should have been out of the tournament, Sharapova. But generally, if you look back over the course of majors, there's always one of the seven matches they come through, players that make the final, where it's a hump match, and that was the one, and she's got better and better since then. She didn't back down on the match points either, which is something you don't expect Sharapova to do. You know, she was able to come out swinging, and that's what she's going to do. Bouchard's had a good run as well, don't get me wrong. She's played some good tennis, and you know, people talked about her coming in here having to defend a lot of points. She's shown no worries there. That's not been a concern for her. She's looked good. She did drop a set in the previous round, but I just think Sharapova does everything a little better here. I really do still at the moment. I think she just has a slightly more well-rounded game. I think she's just obviously has the greater experience in that regard. I think she should be able to take on Bouchard's second serve a bit more. So I've got to go with Sharapova here. I think, as I mentioned earlier on in the preview 10 days or so ago, I think under Sven Gronefeld, she looks to be playing as well as she has done for me. So I'm going with Sharapova, and I'm probably going to go in two sets overall.
Okay, Sharapova in straight sets available at 5-6, 1-3 on the outright in that one. The next game that we're going to look at is Venus Williams against Madison Keys. 4-6 for Venus Williams, 6-5 Madison Keys. Two players who maybe wouldn't have expected to find themselves in the quarterfinals of this competition, but Venus has been in superb form in Australia, of course, won in Auckland, and then has gone on to do really, really well in this tournament, culminating in a fantastic win over Radvanska in the last 16. Madison Keys, very much the surprise package on the women's side, beating Petra Kvitova in the final 32, and arrives here off the back of a good win over Madison Brengel.
Yeah, and it was a good win, and it was important that she was able to back it up as well, because having beaten Kvitova, obviously just 19 years of age, would have been very easy to have a letdown against an inexperienced opponent in Madison Brengel, but did a good job of taking it to her. That's what she does well, probably behind Serena Williams, one of the best serves in the women's game. Madison Keys, she loves to use the swinging righty serve out wide to open up space, and she hits big. And you know, working with Lindsay Davenport has been an enormous boost for her. You know, it was a partnership that came together in California in the off-season. Initially, I think, only to work together for a week or so, a couple of weeks. But they got on so well that Lindsay said, you know what, let's do this a little more on a full-time basis. And that, you know, they both have such similar games. They're both fairly big girls in terms of their height and stature and everything else. And they, I think Lindsay's been able to understand and tap into her experiences of having played the game to really make an impact on Madison Keys. And it's been great to see. Venus Williams, as for her, you have to just only have admiration for her. I mean, 34 years of age, has been battling illness for a long time now, was down and out against Camilla Giorgi in the round. I think it was the third round. I watched a lot of that match. Camilla Giorgi came at her, and Venus stood firm, and she just loves the game. Simple as that. We're so happy to write athletes off, I think, these days, and yet it's so great to see her playing this sort of tennis. This is a very tough one to call, A lot depends on how Madison Keys comes out and deals with the experience of playing in the quarterfinals for the first time. I do think Lindsay Davenport could have an influence on this. I think she obviously played Venus numerous times, so she's going to understand how best to maybe get at Venus Williams. I'm going with youth. I think I'm going to stick with the youth here. I think Madison Keys is going to win. I do. I think there's a lot of young players that are coming through on the women's side. Pliskova is one of them, and I think Madison Keys probably just has the beating of Venus Williams. Venus obviously is going to make a lot of balls. Her court coverage is as good as anyone still, but I think Madison Keys has the tools to deal with that. I really do, and I think she's the future of the game, and that's why I want to stick with Madison Keys here. I think I'll go with Keys in two overall.
Okay. Keys 6-5 on the outrights, 3-1 to win in straight sets. And of course, if Venus was able to win this, there's every chance she could set up a semi-final against her sister, because Serena Williams against Dominika Sibulkova is the final quarter-final. 1-6 for Serena, 4-1 for Sibulkova here, Nick. It seems like we sound like a broken record, but Serena is just so formidable in these kind of tournaments, in these events. Everything is sort of to her advantage, but she has dropped sets against Svitolina and Muguruza now, and that may just be a little chink in her armour that Sibulkova will be looking to exploit.
Yeah, I mean, I think the difference here is that Sibulkova is not going to, you know, one thing Serena Williams is going to have that she hasn't had in previous matches is time on the ball, because Sibulkova simply doesn't have the weight of shot from the back of the court that Svitolina and Muguruza have. You know, they were able to take time away from Serena Williams, and Dominika Sibulkova is not going to be able to do that. She's gritty, she's quick, she's tough, she's a competitor, but I think Serena Williams, just for me, has the all-round game that it's a nice matchup for me for Serena. I think she's not going to be rushed compared to how she was against Muguruza yesterday. The serve got her out of trouble in many ways, as it has done always over the years. As we've said numerous times, she simply has the best serve in women's tennis, and under pressure, she's been able to get herself out of a hole with that shot. So I'm struggling to make a case for Sibulkova here. I really am. I think this is a pretty nailed on for me, Serena Williams, two sets to love. I think she's just going to be able to, I think she's match tough as well. You know, that's the one thing that she's got from playing those matches against these players, because she was also set points down against Vonareva, shouldn't be forgotten. So she has really played herself into form, and you know, she's match tight. And I just think Sibulkova obviously has a good vibe at the Australian Open, having made the final there last year. But I think her run's at an end. I've got to go with Serena, and I'm strongly here at two sets to love.
Okay, Serena to win in straights. At 1-2. We'll just quickly spin through the outright betting, Nick, just to get your thoughts on that. For the men's, Djokovic is 4-5, Murray 9-2, 11-2 Rafa Nadal, 12s for Nishikori, 12s for Wawrinka, and 18s or bigger the rest. Are you going to stick with Novak here?
Yeah, I am. I am, just purely, basically, I think, on his love affair with the Aussie Open. Kai Nishikori is a major threat for me. I think he beat him, obviously, semi-finals at the US Open. He looks extremely good to me, Kai Nishikori. And I think, as far as the bottom half goes, Andy Murray is my man to come through there. I think he's looking outstanding. He's looking in really good shape. I think he seems to have finally got over all the issues of 2014. It's a new year, fresh year, and he's come out strong. I said he needed a good major, and he's getting one. And I think I'm going to stay with my Djokovic-Murray final. I picked that at the start of the tournament, but Kei Nishikori for me is a major concern.
Okay, and in the women's draw, Serena Williams 13-8, Sharapova 100-30, Halep at 4s, 10s for Bouchard, 12s for Sibylkova and Venus Williams, 16s or bigger the remainder. Do you not think at 13-8 Serena Williams, given the fact that you think that she'll get past Sibylkova with a minimum of fuss, in the semi-final she's going to be coming up against the winner of arguably the weaker of the quarter-finals? So does 13-8 tempt you at all here?
Well, it does. It does majorly so. And it does, not only that, it also, I mean, if you look at her head-to-head against Sharapova, if it's to be a Serena Sharapova final, I mean, she owns her. She totally owns Sharapova over the course of the years. So you're right. It's Serena Williams. She wasn't my pick at the start, I must be honest with you, but she really has now forced herself into big favoritism for me here. And as I say, I think that she's got over the rough part of her draw. I see her making the final now. In many ways, I think if you're looking at being against her, I think you want Simona Halep to come through because you want to have someone different rather than Sharapova player in the final. So I said Sharapova at the start of the event. I think Sharapova will come through that bottom half, but Simona Halep would be the main danger for me. But Serena's, it's tough to see anyone other than Serena now coming through that top half with Sibylkova, Keys or Venus to threaten her. Don't see it happening. I think Serena's going to make the final.
Okay, so if you fancy the double there, Serena Williams at 13-8, Djokovic at 4-5 in terms of the tournament winners, 3.72-1, so almost 4-1 for, well, the two favourites. Could be quite a nice bet, that. Thank you very much for your time, Nick. We're going to catch up with you ahead of the semi-finals, but first things first, enjoy all of the quarter-final action because there's some great games in there.
There really is. Thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.